Introduction. I can't find good people. Business owners everywhere seem to be lamenting they can't find good people. If you are like most small business owners, finding the right people for your business is a challenge. And when you do hire someone, they ghost you the first day or they quietly quit. If they do stay, you can't seem to get the performance you need from them. As a result, you never seem to be able to get traction. Everything still revolves around you. If something gets done, you have to be involved in every detail. It can be maddening. I know how you feel. I started my first company out of the trunk of my car almost 40 years ago. I've endured just about every employee problem imaginable. Finding the right people was definitely a challenge for me. One day, a gangster-type lowrider car was sitting outside our office for the longest time. Two unsavory-looking characters were sitting in the car, the doors open, pot smoke billowing out of the car. Assuming these guys were up to no good, I began to reach for the phone to have the police come by and assess the situation. About that time, one of them got out of the car and began walking toward our door. He was wearing flip-flops, cut-off blue jeans, a yellow tank top, and sunglasses, which he did not remove when he stepped inside the door. "Can I help you?" I asked. "Y'all hiring?" he inquired. I couldn't believe it. Are you kidding me? I was thinking to myself, you've been sitting out there for the past 30 minutes smoking weed and you walk in here asking for a job? I was flabbergasted. The first thing that came to my mind was, we do require a drug test. Is that going to be a problem? That going to be today? He replied. In other words, he felt that with a little advance notice, he could pass that drug test. And of course, there are tricks drug users have learned to do just that. It wasn't just finding people that was a problem for me. Managing people was a nightmare. I remember an occasion when I was so angry with my crews, I ripped open my shirt and buttons flew everywhere. Unfortunately, it was a brand new shirt my wife gave me for my birthday. She was not happy. On one occasion, one of my young employees didn't show up for work. I happened to know that his mom was out of town and his little girlfriend was staying in the apartment with him. I went over to retrieve him. I knew he was inside, but he wouldn't answer the door. I banged on the door, loudly, for an hour. I was a mess. I was not the best leader in those early days. I was personally committed to first-class customer service, but getting my people to show up and perform was a challenge. It was not unusual for me to show up in the morning and immediately start barking out orders as I saw things that were not being done correctly. That was followed by me slamming the door behind me as I went into my office. Those who know me today cannot imagine such a thing. On one such morning, one of my employees lightly tapped on my door and asked if she could see me for a moment. She came into my office and said, "You may not realize this, but there are real human beings in this building. It might do you good to at least say hello to them when you get here in the morning. You might get better results." She said no more and slipped out of my office as quietly as she came in. It was then that I began my long and difficult leadership journey, and it started with realizing the problem wasn't my team members. It was me. I was not a good leader. This is not a unique problem. The ongoing Gallup employee engagement poll reveals that 70% of American workers are disengaged from their jobs. 18% of the 70 are actively disengaged, which means they are working against the company they work for. The worst part is that it has remained that way for decades. Decades. Several years ago, ABC's 2020 show did a special on how employees quit in flamboyant ways. One guy had members of a high school marching band escort him into his boss's office to quit. Another one stood on a table in a crowded lunchroom at his company. When he got everyone's attention, he opened his shirt to reveal huge black letters written on his chest. I quit. The lunchroom erupted with applause. I was at a hotel in Clearwater, Florida, some years ago, as I stood on the 10th floor balcony overlooking the beach, sipping my morning coffee. I looked down and noticed a young lady who was supposed to be washing the sand off the walkway on the ground. She had the water hose in her left hand, but she was right-handed. How do I know that? She had her phone in her right hand scrolling. As she focused on her phone, the hose drifted off course into the bushes. Occasionally, she would notice the error and get it pointed back to the walkway. Meanwhile, hotel guests were looking around, obviously needing suntan lotion, chairs, towels, or just general information. But she never even noticed them. So what is the problem? Is it a millennial issue? Business owners complain that millennials are always on their phones, always plugged into social media. Distracted, disinterested, they whine that they are lazy and uncommitted. Is it a cultural issue? The post-COVID buzzword in leadership circles is the Great Resignation. Millions of people didn't go back to work because their eyes were opened to how corporate America was sucking the life out of them. How do we deal with all of this? How do you overcome it? The first step is to realize that everything rises and falls on leadership, and the toughest person to lead is ourselves, to quote my friend John Maxwell, widely held to be the world's number one leadership expert. Translation, it's not them, it's you. Ouch. But congratulations for reading this book. It will show you how to build a phenomenal dream team in the midst of all of these problems. You can overcome these challenges and have a team that actually runs your business for you. Instead of not being able to find good people, you can have the best people standing in line to work for you. You just have to learn and practice the proven principles. Today, I have almost 50 highly engaged, top-performing team members. My service company that I started from the trunk of my car has 26 team members, and it is completely systematized and turnkey, which means I don't have to be there, ever. I have the right people and processes in place. As I write this piece, I've been at my beach house in Florida for 2 months. My service company is in Texas. My team at my coaching company is completely remote. We all work from our homes, some in different states. I also have contract coaches, franchisees, a network marketing team, and I help run the famed Zig Ziglar companies. To top it off, we even have volunteers. I was at a business convention last year and was chatting it up with a fellow attendee. When she learned I have volunteers, she was shocked. Volunteers? She exclaimed. How does that work? In this book, you'll find out. You'll also find out how many of our coaching clients have moved from the struggles mentioned above to building a phenomenal dream team of their own. And you can do it too. You will learn why employees are disengaged and what you can do about it. You will learn how to develop a team that can run your business for you. Impossible? A fantasy? I've not only done it, but I have been turnkey for many years. And I've helped many others do the same. Here's the three-step plan and the three parts of this book. 1. Determine where you are going. If you don't know where you are going, how will you know how many team members you need? How will you know what positions you need? How will you share your vision with prospective and current team members? I will outline a clear way for you to see your vision, so you can get the right people on the bus and get them in the right seat, as Jim Collins famously put it. 2. Discover phenomenal leadership. Like me in the past, the reason your team members aren't top producers has nothing to do with them, but everything to do with you. If you are still tempted to think it is your employees and not you, I have a simple question for you. Who hired them? Who trained them? Or failed to train them? Probably you. And what if you actually have the right people on the bus, but you just haven't led them well? That was my problem. Most of the people I had on my team were the right people. And many of them are still with me today. They just needed to be led properly. I had to learn to lead them effectively. And I have. In this section, you'll learn how to become a stronger leader, one whom others want to follow. 3. Learn the 8 steps to building a phenomenal dream team. Finally, you'll learn the 8 steps that are required to build the ultimate dream team. You might be tempted to jump right to that section, but be sure to come back to Part 1 and Part 2 so you can make sure you have the right vision and you understand how to be a stronger leader. The strategies in this book are the strategies I have used successfully, that my coaching members have used successfully, and that my peers who have scaled their businesses to over $200 million per year have used successfully. Many of our coaching clients have built phenomenal teams that run their company for them. They are what we call turnkey, which means that their business runs without them. They can spend their time with family, traveling, building another business, scaling their current business, serving in their community, or doing ministry. A turnkey business is one that a buyer could come along and purchase, and the business will run just as well for them as it did for the owner. Elise, an architect in Houston, is one of our coaching members who was a mean boss. She made her team members cry. She became a better leader. Now they cry because of how good she is to them. Her business is turnkey, and she invests her time volunteering in an equestrian leadership program with her daughter instead of slaving away in the business. Michael Killen, who sells outdoor furniture, was losing money even though he had $3 million in sales. He was not a great leader. Today, his revenue has topped $10 million, and his profits have gone through the roof. The best part? He only goes to the office 3 days a week. And when he is at the store, there isn't much for him to do. When he works on the business, not in the business. What does he do the rest of the time? He spends time with his 2 young children. He takes his family on amazing vacations. Sherry Perry, who owns a credit card processing company, hated going to work. She hated dealing with the constant employee drama. Today, her team is highly engaged and productive. She has built a phenomenal culture where everyone loves coming to work to make a difference every day. Sherry also volunteers her time to my worldwide coaching group. Notice, I want to make it clear that you won't find anything about online ads in this book. You won't learn how to write an ad. In fact, I don't advertise for team members. However, you will learn how phenomenally successful business owners recruit the best people. Why? Because all of business and all of life is about relationships. In fact, potentially, the greatest body of work done on leadership is the Leadership Challenge Series. The summation and conclusion that the authors have come to over 5 decades of studying the best practices of leaders is, it's the quality of this relationship that matters most. A relationship characterized by mutual respect and confidence will overcome the greatest adversities and leave a legacy of significance. It will be hard, but you can do it. And when you do, you'll have something very few business owners have. A phenomenal dream team that will run your company or companies for you so you can live your phenomenal dream. And the best part is they can live their dreams too. Shall we get started?